This is a paid message from the Imperial Holonet News Service. Hello, entire galaxy. I am Alex Fasciani, one of the hosts of the Star Wars Old Canon Book Club podcast on Earth. I just wanted to apologize for briefly hiring notorious con man and thief Large Bumbo into our organization. In my defense, he was posing as an accredited intergalactic lawyer at the time, and all decisions were made in good faith. But I didn't speak Bumbies myself, and I should have done a better background check as part of the hiring process, and that's on me. As an apology, part 2 of the Star Wars New Canon Book Club archives have now been released, even for free, non-paying members, at patreon.com/SWOCBC. Again, that's patreon.com/SWOCBC. Please stop mailing me thermal detonators. Just go listen to episodes of our old show about the Disney Star Wars universe at patreon.com/SWOCBC. Thank you for your time. May the Force be with you, or bright suns, or whatever is most appropriate to say on this big of a stage. Thank you. Please enjoy the show.
The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/SWOCBC for ad-free episodes, reading guides, movie and TV episode audio watch-alongs, and more. Today's Old Canon Fact of the Day comes from A Guide to the Star Wars Universe by Raymond L. Damasco, first published in December 1984. C-3PO is bipedal and is equipped with visual, auditory, olfactory, and sensory receptors, which include broadband antenna to receive transmissions from other droids, and a vocabulator for speech. But his creativity is minimal to assure he will not embellish translations. R2-D2 was once the property of a Captain Colton, who was in service of the Rebel Alliance, and through a series of events became the property, protector, and companion of Luke Skywalker. Today's selection is Droids, The Adventures of R2-D2 and C-3PO, an animated television series by Peter Sodder and Ben Burtt, whose final episode was first broadcast on June 7th, 1986. Enjoy the show, and may the Force be with you, always.
Bo Scott, Dad. We're out here. Oh. It's,
Cuba, Dad.
Part 2, guys. Welcome back to the Star Wars Droids duology.
The worst timeline.
Here's the thing.
I forgot. Where were we at? I feel like it was like interesting. Watch it as a group.
We watched
the beginning was better than the
second
half.
That's where we were at the end of the last episode.
We liked the
last episode of this.
Yeah, we liked the first arc well enough. We said the second one is kind of flagging, but we didn't want to.
We had hope.
Yeah, sadly, that nosedive didn't really pull up. And I think if you
went down with the plane.
If you go on the Patreon and do the watch along, you'll see the descent into madness.
I want to also.
There is a moment in that last hour,
yeah,
where I think no one wanted to be here.
Yeah,
no one wanted to do this, and we're less like it has to be over soon, and it kept going.
I do want to.
It's tough. Three ADHD brains, like there needs to be some novelty, something to connect to, and it's just some of those scenes were like
it's worse,
so nonsensical that it's like exhausting and angering at the same time.
I can't believe we sat through multiple episodes where the main character was a guy named Mongo Boabab.
Dude, Baobab.
That shit was
Mungo boy.
Mungo.
That shit, and he was the hero, and that guy sucks.
Here's the thing, I do want to just say, if you do watch the watch along, which is available at patreon.com/SWOCBC, by the way. If you do watch it, we recorded that starting at like, I don't know what time we started, but it was
a normal time.
No, we ended up, we finished at like, what?
After midnight.
Like we left here close to 1 a.m.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, on top of the fact that it wasn't that great, we were quite cranky because it was very late.
Oh, I was exhausted.
Unlike Scary Game Squad, where we used to do this shit all the time in Step Till 2 when we were like 10 years younger than we are today, you know, staying up and doing a late night session of like children's TV programming.
Not,
there was never going to be
not
like,
good. It wasn't good children's TV programming. There was nothing like it was. It progressively got worse and worse. It wasn't like, it's consistent and it's like fine. It was getting worse with every episode.
When I watch like kids, I don't have children, but I have a lot of nieces and nephews and friends that have kids.
Yeah.
The stuff that like the children's programming now is just like YouTube where it's like people in costumes. It's like movement and noise.
It's much worse than
and
it is. Yeah.
The show devolved from still a lot of like hijinks, but plot-based character stuff to a lot of just running noise hijinks. Like it's that. It became like, oh, there's not any like meat here.
I have an alternate theory that I think is slightly I wanna consider my own just absolute grumpiness when doing my opinion. Because look, I don't know where you guys were at. I was like,
we liked the first half a lot better.
But I was fighting off sleep. But I think really what made me so angry is not that each episode was worse than the previous one so much as it was. Because I do think that The Great Heap, for example, which was the last bit that we watched.
Looked a lot better.
Looked a lot better. And was just better. It was like actually just better.
Better than bad is not good.
But that's what I was going to say. Is like,
yeah.
I don't think that any of these is particularly better or worse than any of the other ones, really. I just think that we found out the legs of Star Wars Droids is quite short. I think we watched the first one.
It was quite short, but it didn't need to be. No reason it had to be.
Other than that it's a season of children's programming, right? Like, I'm just saying,
oh, we put it all in those first couple episodes.
My point is, My point is that I don't really think the first set of episodes is particularly much better than the last set of episodes or The Great Heap. I think the only part that really dragged was that middle one because it was like three episodes longer than the other arcs. The one with Kybo Ren was really long.
Whoops.
But I don't know what happened there. I like played like a space harp.
Yeah,
that was crazy. I just feel like we got into the series engine of the show in that first arc. We weren't like tied to Jorbin or whatever his name was.
Thal Jorbin.
Yeah, like we weren't tied to anybody. We got wrapped up in it. It was light. We liked it. It was clean. That we were out. It was done. And then it's like, oh, we're just gonna watch like another story about C-3PO and R2-D2 going and like meeting a normal looking human G.I. Joe character and like flying like. It was basically the same thing again, but longer the second time with another like organized crime lord and another like power struggle. It just like took twice as long for some reason.
I do think there is a big difference like in the amount of like the setups for a lot of the episodes, even the ones we didn't like, aren't bad. But the first episodes, they did like the plot moved. The thing like characters had things to do and it really like it was just... It got to a point where it was like just chase after chase, but not even good. Like
I just
things were happening randomly where you're like,
I just don't think the original episodes were even actually that good. I just think that we were charmed by like the little bit of world building that they had to do to like set up not just that arc, but like
show. Yeah, but like it's a kid's show. So it's like it's always going to be we're not the target audience here, but there was more to glom onto. There was more things happening that used your brain power instead of just
a little bit, but I don't really think that like the first plot or whatever was any more inspired. Like it just didn't feel like they had like a killer pilot. It just like going back and watching, I watched a second episode again because I didn't want to watch the first one again because I felt it would be too weird compared to the rest of the episodes. But I, like just because it introduces everything, so I watched the second one again and I'm like, this isn't actually like that much better than the Great Heap. Like, it is better. But if we're thinking about this as part one and part two of, like, one written piece, I feel like, in general, the whole thing is kind of just, like, fine. And I don't really feel like, having watched the whole thing, that I feel like we had, like, a great time and then, like, a bummer time. It just made me feel like the first time that we had wasn't quite as good as I thought it was.
I feel like...
because it didn't continue. It was just the series setting itself up.
If we had watched all these back to back to back, I still think we would have had the same reaction. But because we watched the last half in one chunk, it was just bad across the board.
They jettisoned all the character development from the first arc and then jump into the second arc with no setup because we don't need it.
Then they jettisoned that again for the last arc.
And then they chuck it out.
They literally jettisoned it.
Yeah, literally. And so, like, it's just weird. It's just a weird way of doing...
But Davis is right, though. The idea that at some point, and it's almost like... I don't even know how best to describe it. Like, sneak it in. But they don't really, because the whole point is the stuff Davis was talking about, where it's like, it becomes slapstick and really goofy. That first arc has it. It's there. It's not different. But at a certain point, the slapstick goofery becomes kind of like the difference between episodes 4, 5, 6, R2, 3PO,
and
episodes 1, 2, and 3, it's like a little too much.
I agree. I just think, like...
Also, there was less sexualization of C-3PO, and I think that's why I didn't like it as much.
It was so funny.
Not as many ass
shots.
There was still a couple.
There was still a lot. There was one or two that were, like, worse than anything in the first half. But like, where you're just like, okay, his head went right in between his legs.
Okay, yeah.
But honestly, like... going back to just, like, the larger mission of our show, right, of, like, kind of, like, chronicling this, I'm wondering, just based on my I don't want to say maybe we had the wrong experience, because I don't think we did. I think we had the right experience. But I'm wondering if maybe, like, if we watch, like, 15 – and I'm not suggesting that we do this. But if we watch, like, 15 Saturday morning cartoons from 1985, I bet you, like, almost all of them would be, like, the first, like, 5 episodes cook. Because it's all of the actual idea that anybody ever had. And then they got
to
have...
Today that happens.
Yeah, and then
still.
It's got this long-ass tail that just burns out and just becomes like a sort of... It ends up going through the motions before it even ends. And then The Great Heap was a separate production. So again, you're going to get like the money at the top, but then they canceled the second season. So they just made The Great Heap. So you get like one more decent...
But also The Great Heap is a prequel. Like, it's crammed in between two of the arcs, so it almost...
It's like a Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z movie in the old days, where it's like, they don't really even exist on the timeline. They, like, are...
If I had to guess what happened...
The Cowboy Bebop movie is literally that, yeah.
There's not really, like, any, like, documentation on this, but my guess of what happened, and I said this in some degree in the watch-along, is that maybe what happened was that they planned out two seasons and that the second season involved Mungo Baobab. But then they canceled the second season, so they just kind of...
He was in a lot of it.
He's in about half of the episodes, right? So I'm just saying, like, maybe they crammed that second half of the show into the first half and then took out The Great Heap and then used it as a little...
But it's also, like, it's just weird that the first arc is, we got to help these guys go to a race. It's fun. There's an objective. The second arc is, we have to help these blue guys go back to his planet and become king. And then they do... Two episodes in, but it goes on for another 3.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, what do you mean we have to, like, we got to help them fall in love and do this
maybe,
other thing.
I think maybe the original show was a little bit more linear, because it's so weird that the Mungo Baobab episodes, you don't meet him till The Great Heap. The My Name is Mungo episode is. That happened in
Firefly, where they didn't like...
Yeah, in Doctor Who, they did it too, where the companion just changed. And they were like, what the fuck? And then like a season later, they show the intro because there was something behind the scenes that happened rather than, you know, in front of the camera.
Oh, it wasn't meant to be like a reveal?
Yeah, and I feel like that's exactly what happened here. I don't know why they would choose to do it this way, other than if they...
Everybody
wanted
to know, where did Mungo Baobab come from?
They just probably decided that The Great Heap was a great set piece and a single great arc, but it didn't have enough episodes to it or something, because it's only two episodes long. So I think maybe they just took out two episodes and kind of, you know, spread it out a little bit. Yeah. and kind of tied those two arcs together, maybe. Because I do feel like that King arc and that other arc with Kaibo Ren Cha were like two different entire arcs that just kind of barely connected with like one or two characters. Like that prince didn't need to be from the same tribe as the other prince because we already finished that story with
They teased him in that arc.
I think they went into production with that plan. I just think that at one point they had two seasons because there's two Ewok seasons. You know what I mean? There's two Ewok seasons and it was a power hour. So I'm just feeling like maybe they did two seasons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think maybe originally the plan was both shows go two seasons, but they killed droids.
Or maybe there was a difference with the production studios and one couldn't produce, or who knows?
I'm sure we'll find out more about that in the Ewoks episodes, which we're about to do. But I just feel like something weird happened. Some kind of Disney Plus-esque hijinks occurred there with what happened with those episode orders and productions.
And why we got like a TV movie version of the like...
Yeah, I also just want to say, I think that's pretty much how that shit is. Like, I don't know how much of this to attribute to like this guy who we were kind of clowning on, who we didn't like his name the most because he seemed to be tied to the most bad episodes.
Mungo Baobab.
No, his name is like Peter Souter. He was like one of the writers. He was
the guy from Babar.
Yeah, he did Babar. He did like the first episode
Gummy Bears.
Yeah, he did all these. He did all these shows, which are like. He did all the Care Bears movies, all hits.
That's what it is, Care Bears.
Yeah, huge hits. Bears. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like a successful one. So in my mind, I'm thinking like maybe he's like the, you know, that horse in Animal Farm who like does all the work? Like maybe he's like that guy because he's just like, I'll just come in and like
banging out,
not fuck this up totally when after it didn't go the way we planned. Because I just feel like maybe that's just what it is. Maybe that's just what children's television is in the 80s. And maybe that's why it didn't get made is because... You know, you already saw at the beginning, we were talking about last time, like Anthony Daniels is like, I don't want to do this unless I'm, you know, kicking it up a notch. And that is not what happened with Droids. Like, I do not feel like season one of Droids kicked up a notch children's television. It just felt very...
No, but I will say the beginning of it
had promise.
Well, yeah. It's like the later stuff is like, this is just typical children. It's not engaging your intellectual brain at all. But the first episodes, even though it's still a kid's show, it had the intrigue, it had the plots, it had Star Wars, but younger.
Sure.
Aside from C-3PO and R2, D2 being in it, later on I'm like, this isn't have the different elements of Star Wars in the same way. Like the Great Heap is like, it could be anything else.
It's more formulaic than it is like pulp riffing. They're not like doing neat episode setups and payoffs because I don't think actually that children's programming like does well with the fun and intrigue of that stuff. Like Batman is an incredible show. Batman the Animated Series, like the best children's programming of all time, like in terms of quality of show, right? But I would also argue that it really kind of just does so by leaving kids behind a little bit and just letting them watch something that's like a little bit above their reading level that they will come to appreciate their entire lives. Like, rather than being satisfying one day at a time children's programming where the kid is, like, walking away thinking, Batman was quite clever this week.
Yeah, but you know what I've heard from parents is that you want to be just above the reading level because that's how you
grow. I wish this was like Batman also. Don't get me wrong.
It's also fine that it's not. Like, sometimes you just get... an A-plus thing that's like, you know,
well,
whatever.
Well, that also came out after 10 more years.
And it is aimed higher in age. Like, there is definitely, that is like an all point. There's a general audience there in a way that, possibly. I don't know that Droid, like.
I definitely think there's overlap between the two audiences. I just think that we're 10 years in the future in terms of sensibility, post-Satanic Panic, like, grunge has happened. You know, I just feel like America's in a different place mentally in the 90s than in the 80s.
Episode-wise, though, it isn't just like, oh, these weren't reaching the level of, you know, adult-oriented. Like, I just think the stories in general...
Six or seven of those were just pure shit.
The first arc had a plot and forward momentum and things were happening. From that point on, I would wager that most of the episodes were filler nonsense.
The plots weren't really the problem.
The plots were barely plots at that point.
Well, like, the outline of the plot,
it's not wrong,
is fine, but what it actually nets out to is not great. Like, yeah, there's no.
It's the scripts that are.
Every one of them could have been good. One episode.
The characters aren't even like that well defined or consistent. And at least for my brain, it is fighting for some kind of intellectual foothold here, and there is none. And it gets like angry or sleepy because it can't.
They just do a chase.
Tired. Like, I wasn't sleepy because I didn't get sleep. I was like, I can't zone out. I'm like, I can only try so
nothing
hard.
Nothing surprising is happening.
A great example is the episode where they go to save Jessica Mead from Kaibo Ren. And the entire episode, all 24 minutes of it, it's 3PO, R2, and whoever the hell the other, G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Bumbling their way through the fortress, getting like chased by
some of the action doesn't even make sense.
It's goofy. Yeah. Meanwhile, Jessica Mead saves herself, leaves, and is like, come on, guys.
I did it.
Most unnecessary episode of anything ever.
Her whole thing was just to actually solve whatever problem it was.
Yes, she did all the work, and she was in it for maybe 2 minutes total. It took her 2 minutes of screen time, and the other 20-some was them goofing around and being like, oh no, as they're chased from one place to another place. And then, oh, well, we found the thing that was chasing them, so we're going to have that chase these other guys, and it's fucking Scooby-Doo, and you're like, this sucks. This genuinely sucks.
I'm gonna go through the plots of this, but I just want you to know that while the plots do sound Star Wars-y, I just want to, like, when we get to that point, I just want you to remember this moment where we're talking about this, because this is how it played. You know what I mean? It did not land as cool as it's going to sound in any case. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's because how it's going to sound is probably a synopsis of exactly one sentence.
Right. It's mostly just running and like explaining the same thing over and over and over again. But
because you can say 3PO, R2, and G.I. Joe have to go to the lair of Kaibo Ren to save captive Jessica Mead.
His name is Jan, by the way.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
And the guy. It's also weird that
Jan,
like,
Solo.
Jen Tosh.
What is probably a male-focused show, the hero of the first arc has a lot of the hallmarks of a hero. The other ones are just sort of like random dudes that don't do anything. And I mean,
yes.
In the case that, like, the second guy just is completely ineffectual. The second guy is like business. It also sucks because he has an arc, but when you air things out of order, you're like, didn't you already learn this?
Yeah.
Where are we? His was just like, oh, I'm already rich. I don't need these other things. Family. That's important.
Which isn't necessarily bad.
And then he forgets again and then learns it only at the end without having done the work to have it feel earned. He just was like, actually, I've made a complete 180 on my character.
Well, yeah, because it's written for goobo heads. But like, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, Mungo Baobab and Talon Card, basically the same guy. Like,
no.
On paper.
Talon Card, sick name.
On paper.
Mungo Baobab is like, they
Mungo
say
Mungo Baobab.
By the way, there's not a name that's ever said more. That's the crazy part, is everyone's saying it. They're like, Baobab.
If
like,
Mungo Baobab wore a Gawaiian shirt and he smoked Jeed and he had like Jun glasses.
He had
twin sunglasses and a ponytail.
Oh, if he had like long, flowing, but also curly hair,
and he drove a van,
he rocked.
But he was the same character. Mungo Baobab is a great name.
But that would make sense. But instead, his name, he literally
Burt Reynolds,
looks like
Jim Henson. Put them together visually.
And give him like American Gladiators, like armor.
It's just.
Point is.
Quite awful.
Point is, none of it really is off base in the way that like Alan Moore was off base. You know what I'm saying? Like when Alan Moore was like, there is a space outside of space and we just are wizards that are not with the Force, but we just like can control all of reality and Han and Luke and Leia are here. Like, it's not like that where you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's just like,
stop showing me
play school. I want to watch Star Wars.
In everything in life, but especially in Star Wars, the concepts aren't the problem. It's the execution.
A lot of the time in Star Wars,
the
concepts are the problem.
Conceptually, fine.
A lot of the time.
In some cases, inspired.
A lot of the time, the concepts are the problem.
That's why I was being generous. Yeah. But like, overarchingly, maybe, fine. But and then all of these characters and their things are like, fine. It's just when it comes out to making them, you're like,
Well, I want to track. This is not I want to track the evolution of quote unquote Star Wars. What Star Wars? I'm trying to track what Star Wars is and how this relates to it. I'm trying to track how Star Wars works as children's programming, going through all the same travails and pitfalls and things. Because we've already seen. I feel like this feels the most like of anything that we've experienced. The fucking Ewok one, the first Ewok movie, where you're just like, this got like bodied. I can see the bones of something here that was great. And what came out was like through.
They even have like weird production stuff. Like sometimes the animation's really cool. The Great Heap looked really good. Sometimes characters' beard were the things that dropped.
View screens.
Where you're like.
View screens were also a problem.
I really, really, really am curious, and maybe I'll deep dive at some point. With animation, there's like. Was the beginning better because they spent too much time and then they had to crank something out, so maybe they were recycling animation in the way that, like,
dude,
Robin Hood and Jungle Book or other things? Like,
yes.
That might explain things. It doesn't make it better, but there's, like, an episode, and it actually almost made it, like, a cool... Do you remember when What's-Her-Face is, like, escaping the prison by herself and running, and she's like chased by wolf-like things?
Yes.
And it cuts to like her feet, and then it cuts to the wolf, and it almost becomes like a surrealist scene
as the wolves are like,
and
the wolves
really
are chasing her.
Recycling animation, but I'm like, whoa, like that kind of is like, it kind of makes a cool effect. I don't think that's what they were going for, but then it's like, okay, you are just recycling, so maybe there was.
But there's also shots of the same, like, we'll see characters where they clearly cut and paste the eyes from one character onto another character, so you can see them like floating just above the face, and you're like, what is this?
It's really a problem.
Scenes where one character is put over another scene.
Yes.
You might not notice that if you're watching it on like a 13-inch TV in 1985, you know? But
it's noticeable now.
Yeah, in beautiful Disney Plus or like even on YouTube, it's like, come on, guys. Like, the view screen is just like a cell on a static background, and you're just switching out the cell, and everybody's chatting on the same.
Oh, yeah, that's the weird one.
It's super weird.
Or it just looks like they're all in the same room, but they're like on another line.
You just turn them on or off if they have visuals, if they're, yeah.
I also don't know if you remember this, but the villain in that arc is pretty good. Admiral Screed.
Screed's cool.
Screed is cool, and I'm excited to see him. He actually... Every one of his lines, he comes across as a, like, real...
He's like a tech-augmented Imperial officer.
Which is good, because so many of these villains are just, like...
Pretty anal-retentive.
You're, like, unbelievably stupid.
Yeah.
Like, Kaibo Ren, and then sometimes called Kaibo Ren-Cha, is just, like, an idiot that doesn't... There's no believability to him ever being a threat to anybody.
Right. Like, the best way to describe the Screed arc is... Imagine if this was Andor, and instead of, the ISB agents being evil, yeah, sure, they have evil ISB agents, but also with them the entire time is the dude who helps Cyril, the guy who's like, whatever you say, sir, we're going to go in there. That guy, he's there the entire time. He never leaves. We never get a break from him. That's this, where it's Screed, who's cool as shit, and then his, like, the guy who's the governor of that planet, who just never shuts up, is always involved and always fails. And Screed's like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill everyone. He's like, one more chance, please. That sucks. That's terrible. I hate that.
Yeah, it's pretty...
We had a cool villain, and they never let him be a villain. He just reacted to the other villains being terrible at their jobs.
So I do want to point out, Screed, we may see more of Screed.
Oh, 100%. He's
but also,
important.
We've already seen him.
Go on.
He... is in Life Debt, and he is in Tarkin, which we have read.
Oh,
the classic version of our show, the Legends version of our show, which is about the canon version of the Star Wars universe.
Right, nice, the Legends versions nice of easy. Our show. Yeah. I get it now. He's a huge thing in all of Star Wars still. He's literally, if you play TIE Fighter, he's the dude you'd have to deal with a bunch before Thrawn.
He has the vibe of that. He's just a calculating, cool-looking villain.
Yeah. I also want to point out, and this is, like, crazy, actually. So remember how we teased Kaibo Ren at the end of the last one? It was funny because it's Kylo Ren.
Sure.
So
Kaibo Ren.
Remember Kea from the first arc?
Yep.
So I didn't really put it together until I read, like, after, because I didn't want to, like, look too far into it till after. But that's Rey. Also, that girl, she takes her little desert shit off. She has her, like, little desert arm shit on. And the thing that's crazy about it is that Rey wasn't originally called Rey. She was called Kira. So it would have been Kylo and Kira instead of Kaibo and Kia.
The more I learned.
All right.
Don't we live for this? Don't we live for this? Like,
do.
Why do this show if we're not going to talk about this?
No, we do. It's, I think, like, the Kaibo Ren stuff is, like, they really are just taking names.
I think.
And there's, like, not much else.
I think it's very clear seeing that Screed, a Rey-based character, and the name Kylo Ren are here, that they at least, and, you know, have been looking at this show.
There's a lot of things that we see that it has a, they take from it in the new stuff, but it's never, like, much more than just a reference. Like, Kylo Ren has nothing to do with Kylo Ren's, he doesn't look similar. They don't have any sort of similar philosophy.
But I would say Kira.
But he's the first guy that has black and red TIE fighters. So also, has the First Order's vibes.
Exactly.
So what are we supposed to do with that?
Yeah, I don't know what, like, how did that happen? And Kia is Rey. I didn't even think about it, but, like, just looking at, she has, like, even, like, the head wrap with the goggles. Like, she is much more of an inspiration for the character of Rey on Jakku.
I do think, I think I know or have remember from some documentary about that where they were like, they gave them, like, how they made aliens for the originals, like Phasma and stuff. Before there was a character, it was a sick design, and they were like, this is rad. They're like, that is rad. What do we do with it? We'll find something for it. So it might have been
Boba.
People
yeah.
combing through the old stuff, seeing those things, and then it came down to Kasdan and what's his face to, like, make something out of
it's absolutely insane.
By the way, it's not TIE Fighter, it's Star Wars Rebellion. I had to look it up because I was like,
Screed is
but Rebellion's a great game if you've ever played it.
Fucking good game.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's got to be on GOG still.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can still play. They have all sorts of mods for that thing. Rebellion's great.
I would play that for a bit. Well, we'll get there. There's a lot of cool Star Wars shit we're about to get into. Real quick, Pirates of Tarnuga. They're delivering fuel to Tamuzan from last time, and Jan and Jessica and the droids get captured by Kaibo Ren, or Kaibo Ren Cha, this sort of racist Mongolian biker captain guy who, again, has the exact aesthetic of all his ships as the First Order, takes them aboard his Star Destroyer, which he stole.
I actually dig his, like, mini Star Destroyer. We've seen a lot of mini ones. This one was pretty cool.
It's supposed to just be a Star Destroyer for the most part.
It looks...
What? It had a name.
It looks very different it's while like being the same
vibe.
Yeah, it's like chibi, but it's like, it has like a little different.
Yeah, so they go to Tarnuga, which is a pirate water planet, which is hilarious because it sounds like Tortuga. And there's a big sea monster, which looks like a dick a lot of the time. And they do like this sort of thing where they run a decoy mission and all the pirates go after them. And then Jessica gets the fuel that they were trying to get. And they all escape, and then Mon Jopa tries to get Kaibo Ren, and he's like, no! So that's funny. And then we get the revenge of Kaibo Ren, which is the eighth episode. That's where he is freed, and he kidnaps the daughter of Lord Toda, who we liked. Right? We liked Toda.
No, wasn't Toda the other guy?
He's the
Mon Jopa's like...
He's the villain of Mon Jopa.
His voice
it's
is great.
Daughter, this is the episode.
Kree Summer is, the daughter.
Yeah, Garen.
But the dude Jopa, or Toda.
Yeah.
He is the same voice as Screed.
Yeah.
So that's why he's likable, because it's like an actor actually like...
He's like a good ass
voice
actor.
Giving 110%, yeah.
So they all go to Bogdan, to the Bogdan Bog or whatever, the Bog Planet of Bogdan, or I think it was called, and they mount this rescue mission to get Garen, to get the girl. And then Mon Jopa is like up for ransom. So they're like, they don't want to hand Mon Jopa over. So that's the whole reason they're going there. And then they get there. Jopa's there. Toda and a squad of the Tamuzani soldiers have gotten aboard Kaibo Ren's ship somehow. Ren goes back into prison again. And then Jopa and Toda like stop being rivals and like are men of honor and become allies. And Jessica like is like, actually, I hate this. I'm leaving. I'm going to go back to do business with people who are not idiots.
Yeah.
I fucking hate you guys. Goodbye.
That's not how it goes.
She's totally nice to him. But
she could have said that. And that would have been totally fair. Like, that wouldn't have been crazy.
Yeah.
I think also, if he wasn't called Kaibo Ren, I would be softer on it. But also, did we talk about how his intro, the way that he boards is he, like, burns a hole in your ship with his logo on it.
That's cool as shit.
So we were
like Batman and
his
Robin.
His entrance was rad, but then
he wasn't that
rad. And then his, like, I don't know. His assistant is like a mentally deficient, like, person
freeze?
That, like, they, like, fuck with in a way that is, like, really uncomfortable.
He looks like the fucking dude who I, again, can't remember the name of. I got it in the watch through.
God damn it.
It's the Wart or something like that. It's like the dude from Power Rangers.
Babu? Isn't it Babu?
Babu and Frick, yeah.
Yeah.
Or something like that. it can't be that.
But no, yeah, it's one of the Power Rangers, but he, like, has a different... They, like, mess with him and, like, they have him, like, get freaked out. I don't know. Yeah. It was a weird... I was, like, not...
It was like that 80s, 90s, like, one character is, like, mentally
He's
handicapped.
Like a Lenny type, and it's like...
Yeah.
He's the helper of a...
Super weird.
Of a bad person, but and they like abuse that they have a better brain than he does in a way that's like
because it was driving me crazy. The ship they use later becomes the Gladiator class frigate for the Star Wars nerds out there. If you want to know,
it looks like
that is
what a Gladiator class frigate
is. What a Gladiator eventually becomes.
That's so sick. Yeah, it has that forked Millennium Falcon front.
Yeah, it's a Star Destroyer.
Yo, is this where that?
It's like a snow speeder that's a Star Destroyer, kind of.
Yeah, like it's like a Star Destroyer, but they cut off the point at the top and gave it 2 points instead.
Yeah. So then,
but it looks cool as shit.
So then Joe Johnston comes in to co-write an episode. Doesn't make it that much better, but this time it's Toda's son instead of his daughter, Kobe, who's kind of a dickhead. And C-3PO and R2-D2 are the chaperones, and they get captured by smugglers, and then Jan rescues them, and then they're like, what? And he joins the Imperial Space Academy.
Got taken down from the inside.
We don't know it's Imperial.
Oh, right.
They just keep saying the Space Academy. Like, that means anything in the universe where everyone's in space.
Did they realize?
Well, like, when Luke wanted to go to the Academy. Like,
he wanted to become a TIE fighter pilot.
Yeah, he wanted to go to the Naval Academy.
Yeah, there's not a famous rebellion academy. Like, there's only one academy.
Right, but, like...
But he also wanted to join the Rebels, right?
Yeah, no, he didn't. He just wanted to go be a pilot, and then Biggs wanted to join the Rebels, and then he wanted to join the Rebels.
Okay. Was that stuff kind of all...
Luke, notorious follower.
Was that stuff, like, all cut from the actual movie stuff, so that it's, like...
No, they explain it.
Okay.
Yeah, he tells him that he's going to join the Rebellion. A couple of my friends are joining the Rebellion or something, and then he goes to the Rebellion, and then he sees Biggs there.
Okay. I thought... No, he meets up with Luke in the...
In the movie,
they shot that though.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit more. If you want to go listen to the Inside the Insider, we're going to talk a little bit more about some crazy shit in that realm today on episode 19. Ooh. On episode 19,
audio drama.
Yeah. So Inside the Insider, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Nevertheless, goes off to the Space Academy, and again, all character development, all character arcs, everything is just dropped. And we just moved to another one, and now we're in the Mungo zone with Mungo Baobab, and we don't even get the intro to Mungo Baobab.
Mungo zone.
There's just a four episode arc with Mungo, and you don't know who he is. He's just like some kind of like merchant, and he's with C-3PO and R2-D2. He looks kind of like he's from like Atlantis or something. He has a weird look. He doesn't look like a Star Wars guy very much.
There is a small like. This is an archetype of some kind. The like bearded brunette with the like hippie. Ponytail kind of thing.
There's a G.I. Joe or two like that.
But
I don't know
he's
if he's
also a businessman.
He's like a merchant.
He's like the son of a merchant family. So
yeah,
it's
so he has like cloth on. This is the arc that's like by Ben Burtt, but he didn't write the scripts, by the way. And then so Mungo Baobab has C-3PO and R2-D2 now, and they're looking for the rune stones, and they get mixed up with some Imperials, et cetera, et cetera. And then in the next one, they escape from the Imperials and they go to Rune. But General Kung, who is like the head of the Imperials there, who's been chasing them, his name is Kung. It's really a rough name to say a lot of times. He's like not really an Imperial. He's like a...
He looks like... He's like
he talks
Heart
like
of
Dr.
Darkness coded or whatever, like Apocalypse Now, where he like is wearing like the green... Imperial fatigues that feel
like
very
Dr.
like
Claw.
That, but it's like it doesn't. It's all loose. He's all scruff. Like,
there's like an ambitious, like, lower level guy who wants to get in with the Imperials, which is like the classic expanded universe.
This is like, I would say conservatively, like 30% of your like mid to low tier boss Imperial.
What games that aren't as good as PT are to Scary Game Squad in terms of like the horror genre? Episodes about somebody trying to get in good with the Imperials and getting screwed over is like every expanded universe storyline. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
Eventually they get past this. Eventually it changes.
It works because the Empire is like about...
Dude.
Just a G.I. Joe character that made me think of this guy.
Why does it look like homeless DeForest Kelly? It looks like
what is that character's name?
It looks like somebody put iron filings on DeForest Kelly.
Oh my
God. This is what it looks like.
It's just G.I. Joe crew man.
I liked the Gladiator class Star Destroyer in that, and then I was looking up other pictures of it, and I like it even more. That is a fucking...
It's a cool ship.
That's a sick design, and I don't really have much more to say about it besides...
It's the frigate of the line for the Empire, which, you know...
I fucking love... like spaceship we're sci-fi fans, but this kind of whatever we call the kind where it's like not flying saucery, Star Wars has it. Halo ships, the like UNSC ships are like,
yeah,
kind
like
of
the, like the naval inspiration ships.
Naval, but they're like not sexy. They're like full of all of the like different texture flatness and like,
what's it called?
Industrial.
So the Japanese show. What is it called?
Battleship Yamato.
Yes, thank you. I believe that that show is the inspiration. I think that if you trace it all back, I think it goes to that. I think that that's earlier than Star Wars, right?
It's like really...
I don't know.
...functional warship-based instead of like super sexy sleek.
Yeah, let me see.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know what George is trying to do with the prequels and trying to make everything look super sexy sleek, but yeah, it's... I like... the idea of a galaxy that's so old.
Yeah, it's from 74.
That everything is kind of like old too. I like that everything's retrofitted. And like it looks, yeah, sure. We're making, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I like 40K, where all the technology is infinitely old. It's 10,000 years old and they just keep it maintained.
They just use it. It's like
but
Dune.
But they don't know how to make new stuff. And I love that.
That's
love
straight
that
off. That's straight off of Dune also.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the tech wars. What was I just saying? I just literally looked at it. Hold on. It's the Battleship Yamato is from 1974.
Right.
I know that George Lucas loved Japanese cinema already. I already know that he's like a fucking Yojimbo head. I know he fucking loves all those like dogfighting World War II movies. The idea that he would watch the Space Battleship Yamato movie and have his mind fucking blown by that and then make his ships look like that. I'm not going to say that's what happened, but it's supported by my 1 minute of Googling. And so in my head, that's what I'm going to assume for now until I read something else that tells
me
different.
Also, there's something interesting about the idea of flying saucers being alien.
Yeah.
And this is humans. So you want to make, like, what would a human
make? They
make
boats for space, yeah.
Yeah. What would a human make? They would have a navy in space and it would be, like, triangles and shit.
I also love the reading of the Millennium Falcon as this aesthetics version of a flying saucer.
Sure.
Because it really has a lot of the engines on the Millennium Falcon look a lot like the track lighting around the outside of a UFO. And the back of the Millennium Falcon flying away from you is indistinguishable from a UFO. So it's kind of interesting.
And then they get other Krillian ships that are even more...
Their Outrider
is like... more flying
pretty
saucer.
Pretty much a UFO.
It's like just that they put the little side cockpit that is like, oh, okay.
They've even made like the cigar type alien ships.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that. Like what's the there's that one long ship that's, I forget. We'll get there. There's so much we can get to.
The Wild Card is also another great example of a perfect solid ship.
That's a cigar. That's a little cigar. Okay.
Like a pleasure yachty.
It has a GameCube handle on there.
It does.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So so yeah, Kung's trying to get, he's jockeying for favor with the Empire, and this is basically like the same plot vaguely as the Mind Harp of Shiru, or whichever the crystal one was in the Lando books. It's basically that plot with those stones. Mungo gives up on finding the rune stones and goes back to his planet, Manda, but I don't know if they go there or they get there or what. I think they decide not to go there. Or they get followed there by Kung. And then Mungo and the droids keep going in the next one, The Frozen Citadel. This one's written by Paul Dini. This was the finale, was not better, did not end well. And then Kung shows up, gets screwed over by the Empire. Surprise, surprise. Nothing goes their way. And then at the end, they have to throw the fucking runestones that they got away to like stop their ship from sinking.
So heavy.
And then I love that, like, yeah, it was like they're going into the whirlhole, or what do we call that stuff? The
whirlpool,
thank you. Yeah. And yeah, they had to like lighten their load, but instead of the like anything that else that was very heavy, it was like, oh, these little stones, also, they make just the difference.
Also, for the record, this was an entire arc where they thought it was smarter to get a boat and sail than to just take any of the flying crafts that would easily have done the same thing.
Yep. And then
some people like to Nuzlocke.
And then the runestone.
Sure, man.
I think like R2-D2 had one in his drawer.
Yeah, he was like, actually, there's still one left. So even though you learn the value of family.
You could have killed him, R2, with that extra weight. Did you learn nothing from his dead uncle?
Riga, riga, runestone.
Money is really good, but without a family to spend it on.
Yeah. They just have like.
I forgot that was, they meet the old man and he's like, I spent all my years hunting riches, but I realize it's not worth family.
That's stupid.
And he's like, damn, uncle, you're right. I'm going to change my ways right now.
All he had to do was be told.
I'm going to run off. I'm going to learn the lesson in a second and then learn it later.
Because you know
he still
say.
Goes off after that.
Yes, they do say, tell, don't show. Right?
You're, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say in the screenwriting class.
But they didn't even show. Like, it wasn't really that. He just decided in the whirlpool moment that he didn't need it. There wasn't some other great. He, like, ran off and then he got rid of it and was like, I learned the lesson.
Which,
if anything, you learn self-preservation.
Which was would be a fine end to a mid-season.
Like, he didn't really.
It wasn't on family. He just wanted to live so badly he threw away the.
It'd be a fine mid-season. It'd be a fine mid-season wrap up, but it didn't wrap up any sort of plot any more than any other episode does, and so it just ends, and you're like, okay, well, that's it. And then 1 year later, they come out with The Great Heap, which is a special. Which is also basically an adaptation of one of the comic book stories where there's a planet where they meet Mungo Baobab. They're supposed to be meeting Mungo Baobab, but he gets captured. And you find out that the Great Heap is actually like a bunch of trash that turned itself into a giant droid that like eats all the droids and sucks them for power. And they team up with all the little trashy droids around to like take down the Great Heap and escape, yada, yada, yada. And they get Mungo Baobab out of there. And then apparently the rest of the Mungo Baobab arc starts.
Dude, it's wild.
But like I said, it's a much more movie-like pace.
Yeah, it opens and it is very Nausicaa-coded. Like, the little town
they
is like the same
with the
looking.
Shots. They take the time with the plot to like build it up and like have mysteries that they reveal.
The villain is like kind of scary. Like, it looks like he doesn't look particularly Star Wars-y.
Yeah.
But
it looks like he's from the Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah, like. And that they have like.
If I was a kid, I'd be scared.
The like droid harem that I think he literally calls a harem.
They talk about it a harem a lot, and it's hilarious.
It's like astromech. They're all just like different versions, like the Marvel family of R2s. Like it's like this one is like a sexy pink girl coded R2 that he falls
it's
in love
like
with.
A
this
modern
is a big one.
Day like 1980s like Club Med setup with like jacuzzis in a bar, but like
and then he sucks him dry like a ring pop and leaves a like.
But that's
husk.
All that I liked.
It's
all
weird.
That. I liked.
It's so weird.
I like how funny it is. I like that it's like not serious. Like that's what a cartoon should be doing. Is doing like you know how maybe the Harley Quinn show is not the best Batman there is, but it's a funny show because they don't take it too serious and they play with it. Like earlier when R2-D2 turned on the TV and his favorite show is just a fucking astromech droid with a cowboy hat on shooting like revolvers and smoking cigars, like. That is funny shit. I don't not want that. I just thought that, like, I would have loved that type of tone throughout the show more. Like, droid joke-em-ups, cartoon character
I guess
droids.
If there's, like, tonal consistency, that works better for me. It is a kid's thing, and they're not
it
really,
made me
like...
laugh a lot of times.
As a kid, I probably would have absolutely loved this.
The husband and wife droid that were sitting at the fucking craps table dressed as a couple and, like, gambling with, like, the fucking... R2 like fucking dealer, that shit is hilarious. Like that
it is funny.
That shit is hilarious. But the Great Heap as a one-off, maybe watch that. Maybe like skip the rest of this entire show and maybe just watch the Great Heap, or maybe just watch the White Witch arc at the top.
There's mechanically some fun stuff in the Great Heap, but like again, the Baobab stuff sucks. Like,
if I had never met that motherfucker, I would be fine with it.
Yes.
If I had not seen him for the last four episodes and wrapped up his arc only to meet him again and have him not have learned anything that he just learned.
Because R2 has a plot. Like, he's trying to save
Raiden without a point.
R2 is like,
why are we all in on this Mungo Bay? Why is he in all of this? He's like useless.
R2 has a girlfriend who gets R2 kidnapped and he's trying to save. Line,
yeah. But he's not a deconstruction of Luke Skywalker.
3PO does jack shit.
Yeah.
Mungo does nothing. There's a whole plot with R2 that's like, okay, yeah, it's kind of like the lottery. They're killing
as
droids.
Good, as good as an adventure can be about R2, it's like as up there as any of the great R2 stories that there are. But
even the ending is an R2 ending. Yeah. They like hook their power cords together and bring the girl back to life, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, the Great Heap sucks R2's girlfriend to death and she turns like pale like a vampire.
It's so weird and that they like lose their color, but you know, kids don't know.
It works. And it's like it's just like the Dark Crystal. And then they all join cords and put
Have like a little, you know,
they get her color back.
Yeah, they sing like the Who's Down in Whoville.
She has a
and
bow.
Then she comes back to
She
life.
Has a robotic bow on her head, by the way. She's great. It must be a sensor array, but it's cute. And that is the droids show. I'll say this. It wasn't as mind-numbingly bad as I thought it was going to be, but it was pretty close. But it didn't surprise me. I think it was probably punching a little.
I thought it would be like bad funny, not bad bad.
I think Ewoks might be a little bit more enjoyable for us in that way.
The clips that I've seen of that are just this kind of nonsense.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
In a less visually interesting environment.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe it went two seasons because they're all just on one. They just can reuse the stuff. But it started strong in that first we watched that wonderful Tony Danza. Like
that was great,
opener,
yeah.
Which was just a great way
it
to
perfectly
like
set the tone. Yeah,
set the tone, and then the first arc was really interesting, and it wasn't just that the Boonta race name; it was like
pod racing
a race, and it was that thing. Like there was a you could see like yeah, this is a concept that they were like, well, let's just do it with
and
better
the Rey
graphics.
Concept. I feel like also was very much the Rey concept for real.
I
wasn't thinking it at the time.
I believe you, and if I like went back, like they have that energy. I wasn't thinking about that.
We'll look at the clip afterwards because it is actually like quite.
And I guess, and maybe because the beginning was strong, the rest of it felt weak. But I would rather have had it be, yeah.
That girl.
But also, both of those are like the Luke unused Luke shot.
They are.
They all look identical to the Return of the Jedi
shot. They sort
of
are, but this girl is literally a desert scavenger who like works for the good guy.
Yeah. Shit. What was I gonna say? Like I rather it was the way that it was than they'd all just be consistently bad. I guess. Yeah. So on that front, yay.
That's the thing. The point that I just wanted to say is I don't know how bad this is compared to children's television.
Yeah. As for children's television, this is probably on par with it.
I think it's probably one of the better ones from the 80s. I don't know that for sure, but like it feels like maybe in that context it's a little better than it does like compared to Return of the Jedi or the last Ewok movie that we watched, which was very fun. You know what I mean? I think we have two seasons of Ewoks to watch, which is crazy.
Cool.
We have two full seasons.
We're going to do it. We're going to get there. It really is like, we're going to earn that air. Like, Heir of the Empire, we're going to have, like, been through
we have one
several
comic,
noms.
We have one comic, we have two seasons of Ewoks, and then we have one droids and Ewoks combined comic.
It's like the death throw. Like, we really have to kill the horror movie villain, like, seven times.
I think we're
going to
like
get
it.
To
I think
the
we're
going to
like the comics, because they look beautiful. I don't know.
That, I do.
I think we might like the comic.
I really even like the visuals of the droids in the beginning.
I like the art style of Ewoks even more than I like the art style of droids, but I don't know how expensive it is because I've only seen like that 1 5-second clip from the Tony Danza.
Look at those Ewoks swinging in the trees.
Yeah, like the fitness test clip.
Ewoks.
Oh my god. That's going to be the
best that song.
I will miss song the sucks. Best part of that show was the theme song.
Stuart Copeland, you fucking rocked it. Next time on the show, we're doing a Q&A again because it's that time again already. So get ready for that. And then we're going to take a break from fucking television for a minute to do the Marvel Comics and finish the fucking original Marvel Comics run, which is the first thing that's ending in our protoverse, which is crazy. And then it's the last little Ewok, the last half of the back end of
We're doing comics before Ewoks?
Yeah.
Wait,
but
God.
What about the droid and Ewok comic?
That's the very last thing. It's the very last thing, but it's only 12 issues or so. I don't think it's that much.
That's a lot!
No, it's not, Davis.
That's so much!
No, it's not, Davis.
At my pace?
That's your problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's our problem. Well, I'm our problem.
It's not going to affect me. And we get to play some like beautiful video games during.
What?
Like, we're about to do some great games on Scary Game Squad.
Oh,
we're okay. About to play some great Star Wars.
I was
going to
say, like, are we doing Super Star Wars yet?
Those are. I don't. Did we do NES yet?
No, we're not even. We were still on Atari.
Let me look.
Haven't even done Nintendo.
When are we doing Tiger Electronics?
Tiger Electronics handheld.
Tiger.
Do you think there's a Star Wars one?
There's like five of them. I used to have one.
Indubitably.
They're not like programmed though. They're just like fucking like pictures.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. The Gladiator class Star Destroyer.
Okay, hold on. You just looked at a picture of it again and you got hype again?
Was it? They did it in live action?
No, all that's renders
that's,
online.
Yeah, that's just
dudes rendering it because it's cool looking.
Okay,
they think the same thing as you.
Looks
so Ewok.
So fellow men of culture.
Yeah,
the droids in an Ewok omnibus into Heir to the Empire, into Star Wars for Famicom, which is the Japanese version.
Okay,
Star Wars droids for the Commodore 64.
Get the fuck out of here! What is that?
We're probably not going to play that one for very long.
There's an Apple droids.
Yes, there is.
Game. Are we going to do that?
Eventually. Star Wars NES of the American version.
Great.
Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back NES.
Great.
And Star Wars Attack on the Death Star for PC 98.
Oh, that could be good.
Yeah, so that's the next set of games, and that's like the next thing we're doing after Heir to the Empire. So get ready for that. Like everything... Okay, let me just read the first few things that happen in the second season of our show.
It's going to be, the glow up is crazy. Like, it's going to be so weird.
Heir to the Empire, Q&A, whatever. games that I just said, Dark Force Rising is the very next thing, which is the second book. Then Q&A, whatever. Then The Glove of Darth Vader, which is one of those great, like,
classic
kids books.
Yeah.
Lost City of the Jedi, another kids book. Dude. Zorba the Hutt's Revenge, which is just hilarious. Then Dark Empire.
Yo, I'm so excited for Dark Empire. Like, love Dark Empire.
Every single one of those things.
Dark Empire is like...
And it's like six issues.
The most exciting thing that I haven't encountered, but every time I see a picture from it, I'm like...
The best thing is that...
Give me the
Dark Empire is, the best thing is that Dark Empire is excellent, but there is so much more that you probably don't even really know what you don't know. Like, there is so much six Star
You're
Wars...
You're talking about the unknown unknowns versus the known unknowns?
I'm talking about Nomi Sunrider. I'm talking about... That Jedi Triceratops that can float. There's some crazy shit out there, bro.
Come again?
there's some crazy shit out there. Go watch Inside the Insider number 19 on Patreon.
Oh, we also did get like a proto version. Because they can't show guns on this show. They have Wiimotes. They have every kind of non-gun weapon that's a gun. And they have a backpack...
Like lightsaber gun,
like proto version that in one shot, it was a zigzag. I don't know,
but that's coming.
Also, very proton pack.
Yes,
coded.
Yeah. The real ones are coming. What else? Watch Inside the Insider, patreon.com/swocbc.
Those at least will continue to be fascinating.
If you're just listening to the public show, you're only like 9 episodes into the Inside the Insider. We've done like more than double that. So
Inside the Insider has given me, I live a life that's very based on what I'm into, and so sometimes when I mingle with normies, I don't have the same. I haven't seen White Lotus, for instance.
Yeah.
So I can't really talk about White Lotus, but Inside the Insider gives me so many interesting things to share with people that they find actually interesting versus like when I discovered why Triscuits were named Triscuits, and I shared that at a family gathering, and they were like, that's not an interesting thing.
Biscuits,
like,
with
why did you share that? And I was like, okay.
Is it biscuits with three ingredients?
No, it's electronically baked biscuits. Back when electricity in the whatever was like, it was like smart food.
That's interesting.
Like it was a selling point.
No, so that is
like,
interesting.
Tell that to my fucking family, dude.
All right.
Wait, so in my best case scenario.
These guys just want to watch fucking Love Island. Like, there's nothing there.
Love Island's pretty good.
And my best
Love
case
Island,
scenario
if
for
you. Love Island is a beautiful, like,
it's a great
Fallout style vault social experiment where you put hot, dumb people who are usually addicted to themselves and phones in a place where they can't, and you just, like, watch.
So you get it.
That's not why people are watching it, though.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What?
I also
why are people
watch
watching
my
it?
Family that watch it, and they're like, oh, this person is bad. This oh, they should fall in love. And like, oh, they're so cute. Oh, that's so sweet. And it's like, there's no depth here. Those people are all a bunch of narcissists. This is insane. What are you talking about?
Have you guys heard of Tucker?
A Man in His Dream?
Like that's in my perfect world, what you took from this is every conversation starts with, are you aware of the movie Tucker?
Yeah.
Do you know what Tucker's dream actually was? Do you know about the lights that look left and right with the steering wheel? All right. We'll see you guys later. Inside the Insider is very good. Please follow us on Patreon. Please support us. I swear to God, this show will never die. We're going to do 1 million Star Wars episodes. I feel like if you're here now, you're like one of the real ones. And then we're going to do Heir to the Empire. And I feel like a bunch more people are going to watch. And it's going to be like, yeah, we were here for the protoverse. You know what I'm saying? We were here.
I was here. I sometimes I wish I wasn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, you know, I wish
like
I wasn't here for droids.
Like this week,
I don't miss droids.
I like, look, droids sucked, but... We're like better, like again.
I don't know that
there's
I'd say
so
I'm
much that we learned, love eating my veggies.
We learned so much about the ongoing story of Star Wars, the property from droids. Like fucking Kybo Ren, dude, the Bunta.
Also, how your like dopamine treadmill works, it's good to have some baddies because then you're going to have a goodie.
Yeah.
Are you saying that in order to truly appreciate the good, I must suffer the bad?
How can you know the light if you've never known
darkness?
That's
how it works,
all right,
man.
Jedi
you can't
Master
ride high all the time.
How can you know light if you've never seen darkness, my boy? You are the chosen one. Don't listen to Yoda. He's stupid, and he's
no one can see what's going on in this room, but that was the coolest anyone who ever said the name Yoda looked.
Don't listen to Yoda.
Don't listen to Yoda.
He's a pedophile. Everyone's young to Yoda.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions from our listeners at patreon.com/SWOCBC. Thank you for your support. This month's Patreon Masters of the Force are Ian Berenade, Trevor Isom, Patrick Rowland, Jazz Owl, Peacetime Mando, and Metroid Mike. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with a discussion about our next selection, Star Wars, the original Marvel Years Volume 6, an epic collection from Marvel Comics. This episode was edited by Alex Del Campo and Alex Fasciani. The theme song is Venus, the Bringer of Peace by Gustav Holst, performed by the U.S. Air Force Heritage of America Band. Original show art by Jackie Whistler. See you next time.